Ask your protection over the world and your blessing upon Chorley. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tony. Well, we're continuing with a series on Christ's vision for his glorious church. During the summer, we have our children in with us. We normally have a God's workshop, our Sunday school out there. And I'm going to start off with actually probably the main part of my sermon, which is going to be working with our children. So children, if you would like to come up and help me, that would be great. And this is part of helping me, okay? So Caramilk, one of those impossible things. Oh yeah, children. Okay, I see them flocking. This is great. Good. And Zoe, I'm going to ask Zoe to help as well. But yes, okay, we are... Chocolate, yes, I know. Do you know what this is? What's in this?
Caramel.
Caramel, that's right, it's caramel. Okay, I'm going to ask you guys to sit down on these steps just here so that people can see you as well. And hopefully this mic won't get too much feedback. Right, well, working with children. This will be fun and a challenge. This is good for me. We are going to work together, children. We are going to work at what do we need to do to make a bar of caramilk. Okay? I thought about working together to make a shed, and I thought that would be quite fun, but I thought caramilk might be more useful for us at the end, if that's the right word. So, we're going to ask Zoe to write down things that you suggest. But what sort of things do we need to make a bar of caramilk? Okay, yes.
Melted chocolate.
Melted chocolate. Okay, we need chocolate. Maybe I should show you a few things. What else do we need to make? Okay, have you got an idea? No, not yet. What else? Yep. Caramel. Okay, so we need chocolate and caramel. Now, I actually have a whole list of ingredients up there. What do you think goes into chocolate and caramel? This is tricky, isn't it? Okay, he really knows. Okay, come on and tell us a few things that goes into chocolate.
And chocolate,
cocoa beans? Oh, cocoa beans and milk, yep. Chocolate, yep, we've got that now. It's quite sweet, isn't it? Yes.
Sugar.
And if anyone else wants to sort of throw out a few hints, feel free, okay. Okay, yep.
Artificial flavor.
You know what? Have you been reading this bar of chocolate? Is your eyesight better than mine? One of the very last things on here is artificial flavor. But if you have artificial flavor, what other flavors do you have? Yep.
Natural
flavors. They're there as well. Yeast, no. Sorry, no yeast. Would you like a piece of chocolate?
Would I?
Yeah.
Me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, are they going to get so too?
They will.
Okay.
Okay. Just to help you. Oh, look at that sticky stuff. Oh, it's exciting, is it? Mrs. Ferguson is just having a piece of chocolate. Okay, we've got plenty here. Now, what else? Whoops. We'd better pass those two further along. Yeah, okay. Now, these are all helpers when you go outside, aren't they? We've got some other things besides just chocolate, because I know some of you can't eat chocolate. But we've got some other things. I know you love chocolate. Now, okay, so let's say we've got all the ingredients. There are far more than that. But let's say we've got all the ingredients. What else do you think we need to make a bar of chocolate that looks like that? Okay, yep. You need wrapping paper? Yep. Okay, anything else? You're not speaking loud enough. Something to make the shape. Yep, that's right. That's called a mold. Okay? A mold.
Mold.
Yeah, it's called, it depends what country you come from what it's called, but it's something like a mold. Mold. Yep, okay, and your hand was up. Yep.
The caramel has
like
eggs in it
because
I can't have eggs.
Okay, I can't remember where the caramel has eggs in it, but I've got something that doesn't have eggs in as well. You know what? I spoke with your mummy and daddy. I've got something specially for you. Good. Maybe eggs are in there. Okay, so should we get a little bit more help from these guys back here?
Yes!
No, yes and no, okay. What do you... okay, go on then. Air. Okay, you probably need some air somewhere, but that's not really sort of listed as an ingredient. But what else do you think? Where do they make these? What kind of place do we need to make this sort of a thing? Yes. A factory. Okay, and what sort of thing do you think we might find in the factory? Yep. Machines. Yes, all sorts of machines. And we could get quite sort of involved in what those machines might be. Yep.
Workers.
Yes. We have workers operating the machines. Yep. Chocolate. Yeah, we're getting back to chocolate again. Chocolate's very important. It's almost the essential thing. Now, we need a few other things. Now, let's just change the subject for a second from chocolate. Let's try and forget chocolate just for a little bit, okay? It's hard, I know. But let's try. Let's think about something else that we can make, that we use things like, you don't have to write these things down yet, Zoe, but we use eggs and flour and butter and sugar. Can you think of anything that we make, that we can make from just those things? It's hard, isn't it? Yep. Okay.
Butterscotch.
Can you make butterscotch from that? No, not butterscotch. Okay, any helpers out here? Cake. You can make cake from those things. And you can make cookies. Now, what makes the difference? Okay, I'm trying to help here. Listen, what do we need to make the difference between making cake and making cookies? How do you know? What's the thing called that you've got a list of ingredients and then how you put them together? You cook them. Okay, you cook them, but you can cook them differently. And what were you going to say again? A recipe. Yes, recipes are very important, aren't they? Because I've had things made together with eggs and butter and sugar and flour. And I've had to go to the dentist straight away afterwards because it's broken my tooth. It can be very hard, or it can be like a really fluffy Victoria sponge cake and very soft. So you've probably tasted some chocolate that is just the very best. Where does the best chocolate come from? I'm trying to stir up trouble here, okay? If you hadn't noticed. Okay, the very best chocolate can come from different places depending on where you think the best place is. Does it come from Canada?
No.
Ah, well, this is made from Canada. Someone else can eat this. But yeah, okay, so we need the ingredients, we need factories and stuff, and we need recipes. Do you think you could make chocolate if you had all the right ingredients, all the right machines, and the right recipe? Do you think so? Who thinks yes they could? Who thinks no they couldn't? What would be really helpful? This is tricky now, because we started off just thinking about chocolate. And then we just managed to pull ourselves away from it and start thinking of not very exciting things like factories and wrapping paper and machines and molds and then recipes. What would be really useful? If you've ever made something, think of the very first time you've made something. What is really useful to have really close by? Okay.
God.
That's a really... You can tell they've been to Sunday school, can't you? That's the right answer. But that wasn't the answer I was after. Okay. If... Yes, go on. A witch? An adult. Yes. An adult. Any old adult? Do you think I would be able to help you make chocolate? No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Who would you need to make help you make chocolate? Who would be just the very best person to help you make chocolate? Yes. Your auntie. Okay, maybe. But would your auntie know how to work the factory and the machines in the factory? No, so who would be really good? Willy Wonka out there. Yep, what were you going to say? A factory worker. That's right. Someone who has made the chocolate before. Someone who knows how. Can we have that written down, please, Zoe? Somebody who knows how. This is great. Well, this is practically all of my sermon. This is terrific. You guys have done so well. Now, this is really sticky, so I'm not going to give you this one, but I have a basket full of other things. Who do you think we should give this to? The really sticky one already. Can we think of someone who? Okay, we got all sorts of people. Okay, who do you think we should give this to? A baby. No, we're not going to give it to a baby because it might get very, yeah. Yep. Give it to the parents. Okay, well, there's not enough pieces here to give to all the parents. Can you think of anyone in particular? There's no right or wrong answer. Who should we give it to? One of the parents. No, I can't. I would love to. I think that's a really good answer. I really like that answer. In fact, I might even give you some extras when we give out the chocolate. But this just, I can't do it while I'm talking. So I need to give it to someone else. Who should we give it to? Anyone. Someone who's going to love you. It doesn't matter who. Yep, who? Who should we give it to? Do you want to go and give it to someone? Yeah, I'll hold your hand. Come on. Who should we go and give it to? Who do you want to give it to? He's going to give it to someone. Who are you going to give it to? Someone out there. Anyone. Doesn't matter. Come on. Where's your parents? Where are they? Yes, come on in. Not your grandparent. He's big enough already. Okay. Brilliant. Well done. Okay. Good job. Brilliant. Judy, can I have you help? Okay. Like I said, I do have, which I cooked earlier. Okay. Now, you can't prove I didn't cook these, but I can't prove I did. And I think you know I didn't. But okay. Thank you, children. Now, here are some chocolates and things. But give them don't just open them on your own. You need to give them to your mum or dad or whoever you're with so that they can check. And there are some there that don't have chocolate or eggs or anything like that. Didn't they do well? Brilliant. Okay. You can stay there if you like, but I think you might be more comfortable going back to your mums and dads. Okay. Well done. Off you go. They loved me so much. I wonder why. we're going to leave that up just for a second. Thank you, Zoe. Well, that is really most of my sermon. I'm just going to sort of change a few words around a little bit. I meant to ask another question. I'll have to ask you this question. Anyway, what we've got up there, we can split, what I'm going to split them up into anyway, is ingredients, up there kind of thing. And then over here we've got sort of facilities and equipment. Something else. Oh, yeah, then the recipe. Where's the recipe? Over here. But this one that's really important, someone who knows how. And we've been hearing about that already in worship. Okay. Oh, I'll do it. I'm going to turn this off. Jesus said in Matthew 18, right at the beginning of the chapter, the disciples had come to Jesus and they said, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child. I called a whole bunch of them. But he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted," this is from the New American Standard, "unless you are converted and become like children, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child or as these children, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." So I've got, I think, five little points. The last one is the main one. But we are called to be childlike. What were they like as they came up here? I've got a list of things that I thought they were. But you tell me. What were they like, our children, as they came up? What does it mean to be childlike? Innocent? Well, yes. Okay, they are, I don't know about that one, actually. Theologically, okay, Rhi is my mother-in-law, so I don't know, we might need to talk later. I need to remind you about what your children were like when they were young. And anyway, innocent, I don't know about that one, okay? Redeemed, maybe, and washed in the blood of the Lamb and all that, but I don't know about innocent, okay? We've got to be correct here, because children are very picky, aren't they, at times? They can be very exact about what is right. So, what else? What other things? Trusting. They really were, weren't they? Children are trusting. They just came up. One of them, who we don't really talk to much with, Stanley. And he, was that Stanley I took by the hand? Daniel. Okay, I knew I got it wrong. But he just took me by the hand, as I took him by the hand, and he just went with me, trusted me. It might have been helped by the chocolate. But trusting, what else? Enthusiastic. See, these are, I've got that, and I've got trusting. Enthusiastic. They don't give up. Even the ones who couldn't think of a single answer were right there trying their best all the time. Enthusiastic and persevering. What else? Okay, I can't. Two at the same time, I couldn't. Energetic. Absolutely. They keep on going, don't they? Curious. I had that. I had inquiring. Same thing, isn't it? They're curious. They want to know. Any other things? Bribeable. I think I disagree with that one. I'm putting you in the same category as my mother-in-law, okay? Not quite accurate. I'm just going to stick with this one. What one? Okay, they can be led, but absolutely, they can be led. This bribeable one, I do think that God puts before us very clearly sort of rewards and things that don't go so well with us. And he really does let those things be put before us. And it's okay to be drawn by those things. It was for the joy that was set before him that Jesus endured the cross, even death in that fashion. You know, there was something before him. Yep, Carol. Open-minded. Yep. Absolutely. All those things. We're called to be like that. And if we think of the opposites of those things, we're called not to be like that. I also had down here, they have a sense of humor. You know, they could cope with things. They laughed a few times. And those are the sorts of things that are childlike. Well, they were faced with a difficult task, making a caramilk bar. Our studies these last weeks and these coming weeks are to do with the glorious church. Our task is to be and to make and fashion together God's glorious church. I think one is more difficult than the other. We're faced with a difficult task to be the church, the called out assembly, to be glorious, to reflect God's glory and his character, to exhibit his glory and his character together. It's like that caramel bar as well, isn't it? There were a series of ads, and I did think about trying to find them on the internet, and I know I would have done, but there was a series of ads on TV about how do you keep the caramel bit in the center away from, you know, how do you do it? Can you remember that series of ads? Yep, nodding heads, those of us who've seen them, but it's a tricky thing, how to put things together that are so similar, caramel and chocolate, and yet keep them distinct. And here we are as church. And I look out and most of us have got two eyes and a nose and two ears and eyes and legs and arms. And yet we're so different as well. The modern word, the modern understanding of membership is, well, I suppose one way is like in math, where you can be members of a set of odd numbers or a set of square numbers. And they're different, but they're the same. They share the same characteristics. They're just the same. Or members of a tennis club or something like that, where they share a similar set of responsibilities and privileges. But that isn't how the word membership is used in the New Testament. It's similar but significantly different. And I say that because C.S. Lewis said that. And he taught English, that's not the word he would use, but in common parlance he taught English at Cambridge University and Oxford University. And he said the word membership, I was reading this in one of his sermons actually on membership, he said that membership, the word actually originated in the Christian church. It's from 1 Corinthians 14. But the modern word, if we were writing it today, we probably wouldn't use the word member. We would use the word organ, like the liver and the kidney, because we understand that organs are very different. A liver is very different from a kidney. But modern parlance, modern words, we tend to think that membership, members, I know as Christians we know that we're different, but this word membership so often can be used to say all the same, but we're different. How do we fit together caramel and chocolate and make it palatable? How do we fit together Kiwis who are reputed to speak English and people like Alan Visser, whom I love? And others like Tony and Art. And my mum. And Luis. It's a miracle, hey? Those of us who are married know that it's a miracle how we fit together. It's a glorious miracle how we fit together and are held together. But it is a miracle that we are called to do. And we are given facilities and equipment. Look, the church building. It is the church building. It isn't the church. It's a great facility. The overhead projector that works, but if the lighting was better or different, it would work better. Or the projector up there connected to the computer that work sometimes, and we're still trying to get it to it. You know, these equipments and facilities are great. They're great benefits. Costs come with them as well. But it isn't the church. It's not what we're called to create, but they're the facilities we have. Just like the factory and the workers. And then we have the recipes. How do we mix these ingredients who are us, the people, together? We can mix them on a Sunday morning like this. We can mix them at network groups or mums and tots, prayer groups. All sorts of different ways of mixing together to make something that reflects the glory of God. But just like that, I can't even remember what it was that my friend Kathy out in Zimbabwe made. It was really tasty, but the very first piece I had meant I had to nip next door to the dentist who lived next door because it broke this tooth over here. And sometimes we can mix things together in a way that isn't as comfortable and as profitable as other ways. But how do we do this? It's already been said through the worship times. It's that most important bit that was down at the bottom here. We need someone who knows how. That's the very best way. I can change a fuse in a plug. Actually, that's pretty easy. Actually, no, they don't have fuses in plugs in this country. But I can I've even changed fuses, and not just a fuse, but whatever the thing that it goes into, you know, the fuse holder. See, I'm showing you how little I really know about these things. But I can do it because I've seen others, and others have led me through it. Chris Geitenbeek and Wayne Bugelink. I can do things, lots of things, because someone who knows how has shown me. Someone who knows. We come into the church because we've been called, just like the children. They were called by someone, and we've been called by Jesus. We need to stay in relationship with Jesus. Close relationship, like Aunt and Margaret sitting next to each other there. Not close like me here and Judy there, closer than that. We live and move and have our being in God. We're closer. We can be closer. It's like the passage that Deanna read out from Romans 8. Being led by the Spirit. Refreshed by the Spirit. Daily, daily, daily. Even as I was preparing this, I knew something of what God was saying to me. But it was only as I stopped and I stood up. I did it three times in the same routine. I stood up, went to the bar of chocolate that my mother-in-law gave me for Father's Day, snapped off a piece, and as I was holding it, said, "Father, please will you help me? I know you've got something to say." And something began to happen, and it wasn't because of the chocolate. And I started jotting a few things down about what we could do with the children. And then I got stuck. So I got up again and snapped off another piece of chocolate. And I prayed again. I really did pray, "Father, help." And it was like, "Oh, yes." I realize in myself that it's the easiest thing to live like this, close to the Holy Spirit. But so often it's the last thing I do. Why is it, as a preacher, that I didn't start off? Well, actually, I did start off praying before I even started looking at things. But I let go of that and started into something else. And then, for the third time, snapped off a piece of chocolate and prayed. We have someone who knows. Jesus, and Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit, our helper, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside, who really is alongside Lindsay right now, and alongside me right now, and you right now, and who hears every word we say, and who knows the words we say even before they're on our lips, but is patient and waits so often for us, waits for us to say, and then immediately comes in with help. As the church, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Deanna, could I ask you to come and read that scripture again? I know where it is. It's here. Romans 8. You can decline. I can read it if you like. But would you like to come and read it again? It's just that scripture, and that's the end. We're going to finish with that scripture.
Okay, Romans 8. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
Thanks, Deanna. Father, I ask that you would help us by your Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter. Father, above all, that you would help us to come to you to help. Father, you've laid before us tasks to do that we are so easily duped into thinking that we can do alone, that I can do alone. But Father, the great task that you've called us to do is only achievable in your Holy Spirit, in your life. And Father, I thank you that you have provided abundantly for us. Father, help us. Cause your word to grow in us. Cause us to be led by your Holy Spirit. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Charlie.